The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through. We gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Today's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another week of Raiders recap coverage right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. 3 weeks of the NFL season are in the books, and guess what, Raider fans? Raiders are 3-0 to start the season in the first half. Yes, let me finish that sentence. The Raiders are 3-0 in the first half of NFL games this season, but are unfortunately 0-3 after failing to the Miami Dolphins 28-20 at home. I mean, I said it last week on a podcast. I got a terrible case of deja vu because over and over and over again, the Raiders are coming out, dominating the first half, even so much into the third quarter. We haven't been losing any game into the third quarter this year, but then we blow it in the fourth quarter, lose once again this week on the East Coast down in Miami. We're going to go in and break down this whole entire game once again, half by half, quarter by quarter, play by play to see where it just went wrong once again for the Raider Nation before moving into our week four preview where the Raiders will be taking on Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns. Yes, Baker Mayfield has been announced as the starting quarterback, so we're going to go ahead and break down the whole entire matchup against the rookie in his first NFL start coming to the Coliseum, coming to the Black Hole. You know, we got to welcome Baker to the Black Hole somehow, some way. So we'll give you a full Cleveland Browns versus Oakland Raiders preview. But first off, let's go back to week three and recap what happened as the Raiders lost to the Dolphins down in Miami.
These teams are very familiar with one another.
This is as good as it gets.
I just want to go out here and ride with y'all. Go out there and hunt.
Lock the gates. Let's show them what time it is.
Three the balls on three. One, two, three. Three the balls.
Come out of here with the win. We go home feeling how we won.
We set the tone. Yeah. We set the tone. We run the show. We need to win.
Don't ever count us out. Keep believing.
Well, for the third straight week in a row, the Raiders definitely came out and set the tone as they built another halftime lead for the third week in a row. As you heard me mention in the intro, the Raiders are 3-0 in the first half of games this year, but then completely blow it in the fourth quarter in the second half. So let's just go ahead and start off with the good things from this game about how the Raiders really did come out and set the tone with Jordy Nelson. White Lightning, welcome back, kid. Welcome back. Everybody's saying, where's Jordy Nelson at? Is he going to be able to replace Michael Crabtree? Does he still got it? Well, let me show you what he still got in the first half of this game. Had more receiving yards in the first half of this game against the Dolphins than he did the first 2 weeks combined, and he got it started quick. White Lightning, 61 yards over the middle. Derek Carr hits him deep to set up, guess what, a 12-yard pass over the middle once again to Jordy Nelson. He strikes twice on that first drive.
Touchdown, Raiders!
And the Raiders score quick and go up 7-0, looking like easy money. Jordy Nelson split that defense like a hot knife through butter. No one was around him. He did get caught later in the game, but I don't want to hear no, oh, Jordy Nelson slow now. According to NFL Stat Tracker, he was running over 20 miles per hour, and that was one of the top 10 fastest runners in the league. So White Lightning still got it. We move in later now to the first quarter, and the Raiders defense set the tone as well, because on the Dolphins' first drive, the Raiders defense goes 3-and-out with a huge breakup by Garyon Conley on a big third down play. Carr then comes back and drives the Raiders down the field once again. 9 plays, 95 yards, just picking apart this Dolphins defense, where Jordy Nelson, surprise, surprise, gets connected with Derek Carr once again for another 66-yard bomb. That's the longest play from scrimmage this year. Sets up a first and goal from the 9-yard line. Run it the first two plays, pass it on third down. Our third down play was a great design, a little shovel pass underneath the Jared Cook. It was pretty close. I thought he got called in. He got called down at the 1 yard line. I'm like, fuck it. All right, we got Marshawn Lynch. Fourth and one, hand the ball to Beast Mode. But no, we hand the ball to Keith Smith, and he gets stuffed. Now, you might say, Keith Smith, who the fuck is that guy? Well, he's the guy that I talked about last week against the Broncos on fourth and one. The Raiders went to him on a play action, and he dropped the ball. So I know John Gruden loves his 90 styles offense. He loves his fullback so much, but it's not like we got Mike Allstott in the backfield. Hell, we don't even got Zach Crockett anymore. I mean, you have Marshawn Lynch in the backfield. I thought we figured this out when the Seahawks played in the Super Bowl. Derek Carr, the first thing he said when Marshawn Lynch came, said, hey, when we're on the 1 yard line, we're going to turn the ball around and give it to Marshawn Lynch. So why the fuck did we not give the ball to Marshawn Lynch? I mean, we saw later in the game, he went up and over. He's got three games this year he's played in. He's got three touchdowns. I mean, if he's not a goal line back, I don't know who he is. There's not one other running back in this league that I'd rather give the ball to on the 1 yard line. I challenge you, the listener at home. Who? I mean, it's not like Jerome Bettis is still in the league. Brandon Jacob, he's retired. I mean, there's no more really big, dominant running backs anymore, and especially from 1 yard out. Give the ball to Marshawn. Let him hold his dick and go up and over the pile and get into the end zone. But nope, no points, and the Raiders are still up 7-0. But like I said, this defense was playing well in the first half. Nothing for the Dolphins, and the Raiders' next possession, they come out and they say, all right, let's take a shot. Let's go deep. Derek Carr escapes the pressure, moving around in the pocket, sends it deep, 50, 60 yards in the air. Amari Cooper is behind three guys on the play. He's got the defenseman beat, but he gives up on the route, stops. DB from Miami keeps on running. It's an interception. Jesus Christ, Coop, what are you doing? I mean, I understand Derek Carr has been gun-shy in the pocket. He hasn't really been extending too many plays this year, but then we finally get him moving around in the pocket, escaping the pressure, resets his feet, launches a bomb. Cooper had the man beat, just didn't see the ball, plain and simple. Thought Derek Carr got sacked or just wasn't expecting it, but he gave up on the route, turnover, and that's just something that can't happen. Just shooting yourselves in the foot. I mean, the first two games, you saw it, the turnover battle. It's killing us. And now when we look like we're dominating the first two drives of this game, come out for our third drive of the game, and to turn it over on the first possession, yeah, that hurts. That hurts a lot. But luckily enough, the Raiders, they weren't punished too much for it because the Dolphins were not able to get points off that interception. The Dolphins and the Raiders then exchanged three and outs to end the first quarter, and we move into the second quarter where the Dolphins finally get their first ounce of offense in this entire game. Another first quarter, another shutout by the Raiders defense. But when we move into the second quarter, the Dolphins get blessed with some prime time real estate. Talk about the best field possession that they had the entire game. They started off on the Raiders 35 yard line, only needed three plays to beat Reggie Nelson, surprise surprise, over the top for Kenny Stills, a 34 yard touchdown pass by Ryan Tannehill. Like I said, that was pretty much the only offensive drive they had up to this point in the game. It's because they started at the Raiders' 35-yard line because of penalties, a bad punt, all that nonsense. So what do you know? Give them great field possession. They score points pretty easy, and the game is tied 7-7. Moving on to the Raiders' next drive, what do you know? They march down the field once again with 16 plays, 68 yards on an 8.5-minute drive. 16 plays, I'm telling you, led by Marshawn Lynch. Jordy Nelson had a couple more catches. Jared Cook had a couple catches. Gets them all the way down to the 2-yard line. But once again, Raiders shoot themselves in the foot. The rookie Colton Miller, who has been playing great this year, jumps early, gets a false start called on him, gets back up to the 8-yard line. And what do you know? We run a running back screen. I mean, I kind of get the concept of trying to get Marshawn the ball in open field, but you're running a screen at the 8-yard line. I mean, there's already minimum field to play with. It's not like you can send your wide receivers on a streak, get the DBs 20 yards downfield, and then Marshawn's got 20 yards to run with. I mean, he's got 5 yards in front of him when he catches the ball, and he's already got 11 guys all rallying on him. I don't think that was too great of a play call, but hey, what are you going to do? John Gruden, he's still getting his things back together. Still got to get more creative on third down. Still got to get more creative in the red zone because we got to stop settling for field goals. Marshawn got stuff on that little screen pass, had to settle for a Mike Nugent 25-yard field goal. And the Raiders take the lead 10-7 at halftime. And like I said, it's a celebration. The Raiders are 3-0 at halftime. If you bet on the first half spread, what do you know? The Raiders covered. Should we end the podcast here? Thank you for listening on iTunes and Google Play. Now, I'm just kidding, not getting to the end of the game speech because we got to get into this third quarter, this fourth quarter, and what the hell happened, man? I mean, I feel like I should be the Raiders right now. Just take off the rest of this podcast because they just literally took off the second half, but the Raiders' second half actually started with the defense getting a nice 3-and-out against the Dolphins, and then the Raiders come out with another 15-play drive going 67 yards, taking up 9 minutes and 45 seconds on the back of Marshawn Lynch and Jared Cook once again. Jared Cook actually had a touchdown called on this drive when Derek Carr rolls out of the pocket, hooks up with Jared Cook, kind of bobbles the ball, gets in. They call it a touchdown. Review calls him down, had the knee down at the 1 yard line. But John Gruden finally makes a second half adjustment because guess what? With 1 yard to go on the goal line, he gives the ball to Beast Mode. He goes up and over, and it's a touchdown, Raiders! That's right, Papa. I had to throw one touchdown Raider into this podcast because Marshawn Lynch gets another one, his third of the season. Like I said, if you're at the 1 yard line, give the ball to Marshawn. I don't care if they're sending all 11 guys on a blitz. Let them know it's coming. With Marshawn's size, ability, and force when he jumps up and over, no one's stopping that guy in midair. Nobody at all. Your only hope is to hit him in the backfield before he even gets his momentum going forward. But once he launches himself towards the end zone, nobody is stopping him. He's running through a motherfucker's face. It's beast mode. It's that simple. So I was glad to see some second half adjustments on the 4th-and-1, 4th-and-short, 4th-and-goal, whatever you want to call it. John Gruden finally gives the ball to Marshawn Lynch, and the Raiders are up 17-7. Next thing you know, though, the Dolphins are responding. They respond with a 4-play, 70-yard drive of themselves with Jakeem Grant with an 18-yard, quote-unquote, pass from Brian Tannehill. I mean, this was a 4-play, 70-yard drive that was set up by a deep ball to Devontae Parker. Next thing you know, 18-yard line, this little shovel pass, reverse, wide receiver reverse, whatever you want to call it. I mean, it's originally a wide receiver reverse, but now that the quarterback isn't handing the ball off and he's giving this little shovel push pass, it's now a pass play, and it's an 18-yard rushing slash receiving touchdown, however you want to look at it. I mean, the Dolphins only had 18 rushing yards in this whole entire game up until this point, and that was their 18-yard running touchdown, but they're actually going to call it a receiving touchdown, so the rushing numbers are even worse, and the Dolphins are only down 17-14 moving into the fourth quarter. So for three quarters of football, the Raiders have the lead. The Raiders have not been trailing in any amount of snaps in the third quarter this year, but they're somehow 0-3. So you know that fourth quarter collapse is coming because, surprise, surprise, the Dolphins are pulling out all stops to try to get the 3-0. I mean, the Patriots are losing. They're trying to take over the AFC East now. I still scratch my head how they're 3-0. Well, one of the reasons why they beat us, they're pulling out all the tricks with Jakeem Grant, a 52-yard touchdown pass from Albert Wilson. Yes, Albert Wilson, the wide receiver. They pulled off a wide receiver pass on a 2-play, 70-yard touchdown drive. The first play, Ryan Tannehill just scrambles for like 18, 20 yards. Next thing you know, they do a reverse to Albert Wilson. Albert Wilson pulls up and goes deep to Jakeem Grant, wide open, 52 yards. This was another play. Reggie Nelson bit on the wide receiver reverse. He's nowhere near the play. Carl Joseph still isn't in. He got hurt in this game. I'm just complaining some more and some more and some more about Reggie Nelson getting beat on these trick plays, biting on the play actions. Everything that can go wrong goes wrong as the Dolphins connect deep for a 52-yard touchdown pass from Albert Wilson to Jakeem Grant. Wide receiver to wide receiver. Wow. And guess what? The Raiders blew the lead. It's now 21-17. The Dolphins got the lead, but watch out. Here comes the Raiders. Here comes AC/DC. Here comes Derek Carr, Captain Clutch from just a couple years ago with all of his game-winning drives. What happened to 2016 where it seemed like we were losing for three quarters, but then somehow won every single fourth quarter? Now we're in the fourth quarter, and we got a chance to win it. Derek Carr going down the field, 9-play, 77-yard drive, gets Jordy Nelson back involved for the first time since the first half. Marshawn gets him down to the Miami 13-yard line with a couple tough catches. The yard after the catch was fantastic. Next thing you know, it's first and 10 from Miami 13-yard line, and we run a fade route from the 13-yard line to Martavis Bryant. Derek Carr gets hit as he's thrown. The ball was maybe a little underthrown. Xavien Howard makes a great interception on the play, and it's a turnover. Another interception. I will mention that Derek Carr did get hit on this play. He got hit by, I believe it was Cameron Wake, going head up against Brandon Parker. Brandon Parker just absolutely whiffed on his block. It looked like he was going for a chop block. I don't know why the tackle is chop blocking on a fade route. That makes no sense at all. But Brandon Parker came in the game. Donald Penn had to leave for a concussion, and Brandon Parker was getting beat all day by Cameron Wake. The only time Derek Carr got hurt, it looked like it was coming from that rookie Brandon Parker side. Donald Penn, hopefully he's back next week for a concussion. It's going to be huge going against Myles Garrett. But this offensive line, besides Brandon Parker, played pretty well. Colton Miller did shoot himself in the foot a couple times with a couple penalties. But the Raiders, once again, had an opportunity to win this game, and they blew it. I mean, I like the aggressiveness from Derek Carr throwing the ball downfield, but I don't like it on first down. I mean, that was a play where it's third down, fourth and goal from the 15-yard line where you just got to toss it up and hope Martavis Bryant can make a play because, damn, he's a 6'4 wide receiver. I don't mind that play call at all, but not on first down when you've got 3/4 opportunities to take a shot at the end zone and that's the best play call you got. I mean, what we saw week one, Derek Carr threw an interception on a 50-50 ball to Jared Cook. Same play. Tried to run the long fade route. Turnover. So now Derek Carr is throwing two interceptions on those 50-50 fade balls. I don't like that play calling in that situation, but that pretty much ends the game right there. And then if you really want to end it with a dagger, Albert Wilson just says, hey, let me continue on to this game. I've already thrown a touchdown pass. Might as well let me catch one this time. But I mean, if you even want to call this a catch, because once again, they pulled out the shovel pass, wide receiver reverse, and it's a 74-yard quote-unquote touchdown pass from Ryan Tannehill, and it's the dagger. It's all over. All they needed was two plays to go 80 yards because, once again, they pulled out the trick plays, the shovel pass, wide receiver reverse. Reggie Nelson comes up, can't make a tackle, gets burnt. Dolphins are high-fiving and laughing down the sideline as they scored, and they deserve to because they're probably laughing, thinking, how the hell did we win this game? How the hell did we get away from this? I mean, the Raiders came back, kicked a field goal late, tried doing the onside, made it a one-possession game, but I'm still trying to figure out how the hell the Raiders lost this in the fourth quarter. I mean, we're just shooting ourselves in the foot. The Dolphins did not play better than us. Simple as that. You want to talk about team stats? The Raiders had 25 first downs. Dolphins had 13. Passing first downs, Raiders 17, Dolphins 11. Rushing first downs, Raiders 5, Dolphins 2. Let's talk about third down efficiency. The Raiders were 7 for 13 on third down. The Dolphins were 2 for 8. 2 for fucking 8 on third down, and they won this game. Fourth down conversions, Dolphins didn't even try to attempt to go for a fourth down. Raiders were 0-1 on the goal line, left points on the field. Guess what happened later in the game? Lost by one possession. Total plays, the Raiders ran 74 plays to the Dolphins 39 plays. Had 434 total yards to the Dolphins 373. More passing yards, more completions, more rushing yards, more rushing attempts, more yards per rush. I mean, we had 109 rushing yards between Doug Martin and Marshawn Lynch. Ryan Tannehill was the leading rusher for the Miami Dolphins. They had 41 rushing yards, and they won this game. Red zone, where it matters, the Raiders were 2 for 5. That's 3 opportunities we didn't get points. Dolphins 1 for 1. That's all they needed. Dolphins had more penalties. But what the Raiders did have, more turnovers. 2 interceptions. Tannehill didn't turn the ball over. I mean, the Raiders' offense was truly dominant. Talk about time of possession, 38 and a half minutes to 21. The Raiders pretty much did everything they could have to win this game. And somehow, some way, they still fucking lost. I mean, Jesus Christ. I got two guys I want to point out on each side of the ball. Defense, you guys already know. I can bet $100 you know who I'm going to call out. Reggie Nelson. It seems like every single play, he's in the wrong position. He's on the wrong side of the field. Doesn't know where he's supposed to be. Can't guard nobody. Can't tackle nobody. I mean, he's just tearing down the whole entire defense. Reggie Nelson, get your shit together. Carl Joseph, get healthy. Get him in the lineup. Terrible. And then on the offense side of the ball, I'm sorry, but I got to call out Amari Cooper. I mean, he straight up gave up on that route from Derek Carr where he threw the interception. That's one turnover. Then to end the third quarter, third and four, slant route, Amari Cooper hits him in the chest. What do you know? Dolphins get the ball, score. Then we go to the fourth quarter. Raiders go deep to him, third and seven. A nice little fade route down the sideline would have put the Raiders in Dolphins territory, at least get some type of points. The ball goes right through Amari Cooper's hands. Next thing you know, Raiders punt. Guess what? Dolphins score points. Just huge, huge plays that killed the momentum of the Raiders. I mean, you can't have Amari Cooper, your best wide receiver, catching two balls the whole entire game. I mean, I know he's obviously got to catch the ones that are thrown to him, but he's only targeted five times. I mean, it seems like we're going back and forth, back and forth. Are we getting Amari involved? Are we not? Hell, last week he had 10 for 10, caught 10 passes on 10 targets. I mean, you just got to get this guy involved early and often, because if you don't, he just loses confidence. I mean, two catches for 17 yards on five targets is unacceptable for your number one wide receiver. You got to get him started early. It was nice to see Jordy Nelson get started early this week. But then where was he for the middle part of the game? He came up big on the last drive of the game, but, I mean, 150 of his 173 yards came in the first half. Caught 6 of 8 targets. Martavis Bryant had 2 big catches, 30 yards, 5 targets. But still, your running backs cannot be getting the same amount of targets as your number one wide receiver. But as we all know, Cooper had the opportunities to make big plays in this game, and he just didn't. I mean, you can't blame Derek Carr too much. I mean, those two interceptions, it looks bad when you turn the ball over, but honestly, it's a 50-50 ball on a fade late in the game and your wide receiver giving up on a ball early in the game. And those are his two turnovers. He ended the day 27 for 39, 345 yards, one touchdown, two interceptions. Got sacked 3 times. I said, Brandon Parker, you got to play better. First start coming in for Donald Penn. Colton Miller is blocking pretty well. He just has some bonehead mistakes. Kelechi Osemele got in a fight in this game, actually got us an extra penalty. But, I mean, we got to control the trenches. Look at the time of possession in this game. Look at the rushing yards. We did our job. We should have won this fucking game. It's as simple as that. But, no, the Raiders lose once again, blowing another fourth quarter lead for the third straight week. But now we have a chance to play a team that has been blowing fourth quarter leads since the beginning of time. The Cleveland Browns, but oh my God, I don't even know what I'm going to do right now because the Cleveland Browns have finally won a game. Yes, can you believe it? After 2 years, unlock the beer coolers, unlock the Bud Light fridges. The Cleveland Browns have won, and Baker Mayfield will be bringing in the 1-1-1 Cleveland Browns to O.co Coliseum next weekend, and he'll be returning with a former Raiders coach, Hugh Jackson. The man that was notoriously known for building a bully. Well, let's see if he can bring a bully into Cleveland. Or let's see if he gets bullied by the Raiders. This Sunday, Raiders versus Browns.
We're going to build a bully.
We are physical. We're tough. We're aggressive. That's the Raider way.
When they say set hut, it says can't compete.
You know, building a bully, that's a mentality. I think it starts in the mind first, and then it permeates everywhere else, and that's what we're going to do.
Bully on 3. 1, 2, 3, bully!
The return of the bully. Hugh Jackson will make his return to O.co Coliseum this Sunday as the Cleveland Browns will be taking on the Oakland Raiders, his former team, his first head coaching job. Hugh Jackson, oh man, this brings back some memories. I know a lot of people kind of hate on Hugh Jackson. He gets made fun of a lot for being the Cleveland Browns coach and not winning a game in the past 2 years. I know people call him out for not really looking like he knows what he's doing on Hard Knocks. I mean, there's already rumors Todd Haley's going to take his job by the end of the season's over, but let me put this on record. I was a fan of Hugh Jackson. Hugh Jackson was pretty much the only coach in the past decade to damn near get the Raiders to at least a 500 record. I mean, the season with Jason Campbell, we went 8-8. We started the year 7-4. Darren McFadden goes down. Jason Campbell goes down. And the Raiders end up missing the playoffs by one game. The Denver Broncos snuck in with Tim Tebow when they lost the game in week 16 of the season. But now I'm just reminiscing way too much. Hugh Jackson, I thought he was a great coach. And one of my favorite memories was, coincidentally, against the Browns the week after Al Davis passes away. The first home game back in O.co Coliseum. I was there with my pops, my brother. brother, my whole family. It was a great reunion almost of the Raider Nation, a bunch of Raider legends coming out to honor the life of Al Davis. Q Jackson comes out and gets a big win against the Browns that week, and now he's actually the head coach of the Browns and finally just got his first win of the season last week on Thursday Night Football over the Jets. And man, oh man, I don't think it would have been possible without Baker Mayfield, because Tyrod Taylor came into that game and it looked like trash. Hot, steaming trash. He started the game off, what, like 0 for 5? He was just selling the ball like 30 yards over wide receivers' heads downfield, getting intentional grounding call. He was not looking good. But what do you know? Tyrod, I gave him like 5 games to start the season. 5 or 6, I figured he would be done. The Baker Mayfield era was going to come sooner rather than later. And surprise, surprise, here comes Baker Mayfield. Here comes the Heisman. Here comes the rookie. What will he do in his first game against the Raiders? We got to see. But one thing I want to see from the Raiders is putting pressure on Baker Mayfield. You got to get pressure on the rookie quarterback. Got to make him uncomfortable. Of course, this would have been a huge game for Khalil Mack. You know, I had to throw him in there one time in this segment, because surprise, surprise, he had another huge game this past weekend. But Arden Key, rookie out of LSU, had a lot of pressures last week, a couple of hits on Ryan Tannehill. I like the progress that he is making. Maurice Hurst, another rookie that I like out of Michigan, our fifth-round draft pick, he's getting pressure up the middle. We got to see where P.J. Hall is with his ankle injury, but the captain needs to step up. Bruce Irvin, you know the job that you need to do without Khalil Mack here. You had a one big strip sack, played decent against the Broncos in the first half, but totally fell apart in the second half. And then this week truly wasn't even an X factor. Bruce Irvin, you got to step up. We got to try to put pressure somehow, some way on Baker Mayfield, because if you give him all day in the pocket, he can escape the pocket and he can run. This guy is mobile. He runs when he needs to, and he can make plays on the run. Look for him to try to connect with Jarvis Landry. He might have a deep ball opportunity with Antonio Callaway, because you know the Raiders, Reggie Nelson, all you got to do is run towards him. He'll fall down like the old man he is, and you can burn him deep on a deep route. I look for Jarvis Landry to have a decent day. Rashad Melvin, Gerrion Conley have got the matchup on the outside, but I'm more concerned with David Njoku over the middle, because the Raiders, you guys know the formula to beat the Raiders: deep balls and tight ends. You don't got any coverage linebackers who can stay with Njoku, not with his athleticism. Reggie Nelson is too small. I think he probably might be around him, but he'll probably try to hang on. And David Njoku is going to break a couple tackles. Probably going to look like Vance McDonald on Monday night against the Buccaneers this past week. Reggie Nelson, I just can't wait till you get out of this game. But you got to try to take away Baker's options. We've done great against the run in our first couple of games. I think we got to stop the run, stack the box, and force Baker Mayfield to beat us. But then again, we've been beat by Ryan Tannehill and Case Keenum this year, so I honestly wouldn't be that fucking surprised, to be honest with you. But that's definitely my first key matchup, is putting pressure on Baker Mayfield, because if you don't, Baker could definitely have a big day. My second matchup would have to be on that offensive line taking on Myles Garrett. Donald Penn, will he be back from his concussion? We hope so. Concussions could linger on for over a week. We've seen him in cases like Luke Kuechly, where he's missed a couple weeks. Hell, I hope Donald Penn comes back, because I do not want to have two rookie offensive tackles going against Myles Garrett. Myles Garrett has been a monster this season. He's already got 4 sacks. I mean, if you're talking about a breakout season, you got to talk about Myles Garrett. This guy is looking like he's trying to make strides for that Defensive Player of the Year candidate. The man has been a monster for Cleveland. They've had some good pass rush inside too from the defensive tackles. So I think this Raiders offensive line against Myles Garrett and this Cleveland Browns defensive line, I think that's a huge matchup. Got to keep Carr safe. The Carr insurance has got to keep Derek Carr standing up straight, because we all know what happens when he gets a little gun shy, when there is some pressure in the pocket. I like what he did last week when he moved around in the pocket and went deep to Coop. Coop's just got to not give up on balls. And that brings me to my third matchup, is Amari Cooper versus Denzel Ward. Denzel Ward is a rookie out of Ohio State, has been playing extremely well, was former teammates with Gerrion Conley, our corner out of Ohio State. So I think it's going to be interesting to see how the former corners from Ohio State match up against the two top wide receivers in this game, Jarvis Landry and Amari Cooper. But I want to see us dominate the trenches with our offensive line, get Marshawn Lynch the ball, and then go play action to Coop, play action to Coop, play action to Coop. Got to bring up that safety a little bit, and we got to take deep shots with Coop. And Coop, just don't give up on the fucking route. That's it. That's all you got to do is just keep running. Pretend you're finding Nemo and just keep swimming, keep swimming, keep swimming until Derek Carr connects with you and you're in the end zone. Amari Cooper, he's got all the talent in the world. He's just got to put it all together. I don't know if he's got to go to some psyche training or what. He's just got to get that confidence and that consistency in his head. And I'm telling you, this guy could be a top 10, potentially top 5 wide receiver in this league. The guy has the weapons of an Odell Beckham and Antonio Brown. He's just got to put it all together. But those are my three big matchups. So the Raiders versus the Browns this weekend in ODOTCO Coliseum, and the Raiders better get their first win against the Browns. I mean, I don't know. If the Browns had a kicker, they might be 3-0 to start the year. They're 1-1-1, almost beat the Saints, ended up beating the Jets last week. I mean, who knows what the hell is going on in the NFL this year? We had the Bills just absolutely dominate the Vikings last week. So who knows who's going to win? I mean, the league really is any given Sunday this year. The Raiders are favored by 2 points over the Browns this Sunday. I'm telling you, bet on the Raiders in the first half. I guarantee you they cover the spread in the first half. Like I said, Raiders 3-0 this year in the first half. Have not been trailing a single snap in the third quarter, but they're somehow 0-3. Oh, man. Everybody's jumping ship already, saying it's just tank for the draft pick. It's over. It's all over. But hey, Raider Nation, I got some good news for you. Teams that started 0-3 to start the year have a 2% chance of making the playoffs. So you're saying there's a chance? Exactly. 2%. There's still a sliver of hope. A slight sliver. Hell, we don't know. We saw the Saints start 0-2 last year. We were 2-0 last year. We saw how the season ended. You never know what's going to happen, but it's got to start this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns at home. And I'm saying this is a must-win game. You're 0-3 to start the year. I had us predicted to be 2-1 at this point, but we're not, because obviously we keep shooting ourselves in the foot and losing in the fourth quarter. We're 0-3. If we drop to 0-4 against the Cleveland Browns, it might be panic time. I might be on the panic button early this season, early and often, but we're literally one play away from winning the first 2-3 games of the season. I mean, these are games that the Raiders have the potential to win. It's just coaching, second half adjustments, and shooting yourselves in the foot. Can't do that this week against the Browns, but I think this Raiders offense, who Marshawn Lynch has said it. He said we got an 0-3 start, but we got the potential to be an elite offense, one of the top tier offenses in this league. And the Raiders, through 3 games, they're the number 4 offense in yards per game. I mean, this is explosive. Derek Carr going downfield. Like I said in our past podcast, I can't complain too much about John Gruden and Paul Gunther, because the scheme looks better than it did last year when we started the season 2-0. So I can't panic that much, but taking on the Cleveland Browns this weekend, yeah, we got to get that win. We got to cover that 2-point spread, make everybody in the Bay Area some money, make us happy, and make us get back to the Bay's golden days, baby. We want the return to greatness, but unfortunately, if we lose this weekend, we're in full rebuild mode. It'll be the Bay's rebuilding age. I mean, that's the point where we're at, but 1 week at a time, any given Sunday, like I said, week by week, brick by brick, bully by bully, we're going to come back somehow, some way, and it starts this week against the Browns, against Hugh Jackson, the former Oakland Raiders coach, and I'm calling it right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. The Raiders will beat the Browns by more than 2 points. Thank you very much for listening. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing. I'm Marcus Boucher. This is the Bay's Golden Days podcast. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, social media, at Bay's Golden Days. You can check out our website at bgdsports.com. The website, the Instagram page, the Twitter, they'll give you all the instant notifications of when there's a new podcast coming out. We got the Raider recap this week. We got an NFL betting podcast coming out later this week, making their debut with the return of Alan Flores, the notorious Bay Area hater. And then I even got a third podcast coming out this week of the UFC 228 Aftermath. We're going to go ahead and review UFC 228 and give you the preview of UFC 229, Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor, the biggest fight in MMA history. And you know we're covering it all right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. Every week, every Raiders game, everything you need to know about the Raiders, MMA, and everything else going on in the Bay Area, only right here on the Bay's Golden Days podcast. Sold it, sold it, sold it, sold it.
Steady gold, pony boy.